Well, I think you all know what time it is. Every one of you woke up today and you thought, well, I know what time it is. And when you looked and you saw what time it was, do you know what time you all saw? It's Hannah time.
Oh,
Yes.
Hannah time, which probably means a really good thing because it's Saturday. For most of you, you probably don't have to work.
Yeah, or you do have to work and Hannah just twisted a knife in a big way.
Oh, yeah. No mercy.
Yeah, like Kara.
Ooh, but we'll probably see her.
I mean, honestly, Kara, we'll probably see you.
So that's a gift.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to
So
work. I can
that's
see you
it.
at work.
She got up and she went, "You know what time it is? It's Hannah time." Forgetting that you were going to read on the podcast because she knew she would see you today. Yeah.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, we just have to go out to Mound Ridge, Michigan to the hub. And yeah.
A short, quick
Short,
commute.
quick,
Short
small,
and quick, tiny,
quick.
minute commute.
Oh.
Ooh.
Wow.
Do you notice I'm channeling my inner Steve today?
Yeah, you are wearing a vest.
Yep. I feel just a little vermilion in one.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. Well, right now there is a young man sitting in a house who's read on this podcast before, and he's rolling his eyes because he wants it to be much shorter than it is. He doesn't need to listen to our banter. He has no interest in our banter. He just simply wants us to get to the text and hurry up with it. So.
So nothing like just getting through God's word.
Ooh, but no. It's the banter. Anyway, speaking of banter, today is one of the days. And we're gonna read 2 Samuel 19 and 20. No, is that what I said? I said 20 and 21. What did I say to you?
19 to 20.
Okay, 19 and 20.
Get to the point.
And Mark 26. Nope, Mark 14, 26 to 50. I'm a mess.
You better get it together for that guy sitting in his house.
Speaking of a mess, today is day 118. We're gonna read 2 Samuel 19 and 20 and Mark 14, 26 through 50.
Perfect.
Yeah, that was perfect. Okay. I'm gonna go back a page and read the right thing. Joab rebukes the king. 2 Samuel chapter 19. Word soon reached Joab that the king was weeping and mourning for Absalom. As all the people heard of the king's deep grief for his son, the joy of that day's victory was turned into deep sadness. They crept back into the town that day, as though they were ashamed and had deserted in battle. The king covered his face with his hands and kept on crying, "Oh, my son Absalom, oh Absalom, my son, my son." Then Joab went into the king's room and said to him, "We saved your life today, and the lives of your sons, your daughters, and your wives and concubines. Yet you act like this, making us feel ashamed of ourselves. You seem to love those who hate you and hate those who love you. You've made it clear today that your commanders and troops mean nothing to you. It seems that if Absalom had lived and all of us had died, you would be pleased. Now go out there and congratulate your troops, for I swear by the Lord that if you don't go out, not a single one of them will remain here tonight. Then you'll be worse off than before." So the king went out and took his seat at the town gate, and as the news spread throughout the town that he was there, everyone went to him. Meanwhile, the Israelites who had supported Absalom fled to their homes, and throughout all the tribes of Israel there was much discussion and argument going on. The people were saying, "The king rescued us from our enemies and saved us from the Philistines, but Absalom chased him out of the country. Now Absalom, who we anointed to rule over us, is dead. Why not ask David to come back and be our king again?" Then David sent Zadok and Abiathar the priests to say to the elders of Judah, "Why are you the last ones to welcome back the king into his palace? For I have heard that all Israel is ready. You are my relatives, my own tribe, my own flesh and blood. So why are you the last ones to welcome back the king?" And David told them to tell Amasa, "Since you are my own flesh and blood like Joab, may God strike me and even kill me if I do not appoint you as commander of my army in his place." Then Amasa convinced all the men of Judah, and they responded unanimously. They sent word to the king, "Return to us and bring back all who are with you."
David's return to Jerusalem. So the king started back to Jerusalem, and when he arrived at the Jordan River, the people of Judah came to Gilgal to meet him and escort him across the river. Shimei, son of Gera, the man from Bahurim in Benjamin, hurried across with the men of Judah to welcome King David. 1,000 other men from the tribe of Benjamin were with him, including Ziba, the chief servant of the house of Saul, and Ziba's 15 sons and 20 servants. They rushed down to the Jordan to meet the king. They crossed the shallows of the Jordan to bring the king's household across the river, helping him in every way they could.
David's mercy to Shimei, or Shimei, Shimei. As the king was about to cross the river, Shimei fell down before him. "My lord, the king, please forgive me," he pleaded. "Forget the terrible thing your servant did when you left Jerusalem. May the king put it out of his mind. I know how much I sinned. That is why I've come here today, the very first person in all Israel to greet my lord, the king." Then Abishai, son of Zeruiah, said Shimei should die, for he cursed the Lord's anointed king. "Who asked your opinion, you sons of Zeruiah?" David exclaimed. "Why have you become my adversary today? This is not a day for execution, for today I am once again the king of Israel." Then, turning to Shimei, David vowed, "Your life will be spared."
David's kindness to Mephibosheth. Now Mephibosheth, Saul's grandson, came down from Jerusalem to meet the king. He had not cared for his feet, trimmed his beard, or washed his clothes since the day the king left Jerusalem. "Why didn't you come with me, Mephibosheth?" the king asked him. Mephibosheth replied, "My lord the king, my servant Ziba deceived me. I told him, 'Saddle my donkey so I can go with the king, for as you know, I am crippled. Ziba has slandered me by saying that I refuse to come. But I know that my lord the king is like an angel of God, so do what you think is best. All my relatives and I could expect only death from you, my lord, but instead you have honored me by allowing me to eat at your own table. What more can I ask?" "You've said enough," David replied. "I've decided that you and Ziba will divide your land equally between you." "Give him all of it," Mephibosheth said. "I am content just to have you safely back again, my lord the king."
David's kindness to Barzillai. Barzillai of Gilead had come down from Rogalim to escort the king across the Jordan. He was very old, 80 years of age, and very wealthy. He was the one who had provided food for the king during his stay in Mahanaim. "Come across with me and live in Jerusalem," the king said to Barzillai. "I will take care of you there." "No," he replied, "I am far too old to go with the king to Jerusalem. I am 80 years old today, and I can no longer enjoy anything. Food and wine are no longer tasty. I cannot hear the singers as they sing. I would only be a burden to my lord the king. Just to go across the Jordan River with the king is all the honor I need. Then let me return to die in my own town, where my father and mother are buried. But here is your servant, my son, Kimham. Let him go with the Lord, with my lord, the king, and receive whatever you want to give him." "Good," the king agreed. "Kimham will go with me, and I will help him in any way you would like, and I will do for you anything you want." So all the people crossed the Jordan with the king. After David blessed Barzillai and kissed him, Barzillai returned to his own home. The king then crossed over to Gilgal, taking Kimham with him. All the troops of Judah and half the troops of Israel escorted the king on his way.
An argument over the king. But all the men of Israel complained to the king, "The men of Judah stole the king and didn't give us the honor of helping take you, your household, and all your men across the Jordan." The men of Judah replied, "The king is one of our own kinsmen. Why should this make you angry? We haven't eaten any of the king's food or received any special favors." "But there are 10 tribes in Israel," the others replied, "so we have 10 times as much right to the king as you do. What right do you have to treat us with such contempt? Weren't we the first to speak of bringing him back to be our king again?" The argument continued back and forth, and the men of Judah spoke even more harshly than the men of Israel.
The Revolt of Sheba. 2 Samuel chapter 20. There happened to be a troublemaker there named Sheba, son of Bichri, a man from the tribe of Benjamin. Sheba blew a ram's horn and began to shout, "Down with the dynasty of David! We have no interest in the son of Jesse! Come on, you men of Israel, back to your homes." So all the men of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba, son of Bichri. But the men of Judah stayed with their king and escorted him from the Jordan River to Jerusalem. When David came to his palace in Jerusalem, he took the 10 concubines he had left to look after the palace and placed them in seclusion. Their needs were provided for, but he no longer slept with them. So each of them lived like a widow until she died. Then the king told Amasa, "Mobilize the army of Judah within 3 days and report back at that time." So Amasa went out to notify Judah, but it took him longer than the time he had been given. Then David said to Abishai, "Sheba, son of Bichri, is going to hurt us more than Absalom did. Quick, take my troops and chase after him before he gets into a fortified town where we can't reach him." So Abishai and Joab, together with the king's bodyguard and all the mighty warriors, set out from Jerusalem to go after Sheba. As they arrived at the great stone in Gibeon, Amasa met them. Joab was wearing his military tunic with a dagger strapped to his belt. As he stepped forward to greet Amasa, he slipped the dagger from its sheath. "How are you, my cousin?" Joab said, and took him by the beard with his right hand as though to kiss him.
Amasa didn't know the dagger in his notice the dagger in his left hand, and Joab stabbed him in the stomach with it so that his insides gushed out onto the ground. Joab did not need to strike again, and Amasa soon died. Joab and his brother Abishai left him lying there and continued after Sheba. One of Joab's young men shouted to Amasa's troops, "If you are for Joab and David, come and follow Joab." But Amasa lay in his blood in the middle of the road, and Joab's man saw that everyone was stopping to stare at him. So he pulled him off the road into the field and threw a cloak over him. With Amasa's body out of the way, everyone went on with Joab to capture Sheba, son of Bichri. Meanwhile, Sheba traveled through the tribes of Israel and eventually came to the town of Abel Beth Maacah. All the members of his own clan, the Bichrites, assembled for battle and followed him into the town. When Joab's forces arrived, they attacked Abel Beth Maacah. They built a siege ramp against the town's fortifications and began battering down the wall. But a wise woman in the town called out to Joab, "Listen to me, Joab. Come over here so I can talk to you." As he approached, the woman asked, "Are you Joab?" "I am," he replied. So she said, "Listen carefully to your servant." "I'm listening," he said. Then she continued, "There used to be a saying, if you want to settle an argument, ask advice at the town of Abel. I am one who is peace-loving and faithful in Israel, but you are destroying an important town in Israel. Why do you want to devour what belongs to the Lord?" And Joab replied, "Believe me, I don't want to devour or destroy your town. That's not my purpose. All I want is a man named Sheba, son of Bichri, from the hill country of Ephraim, who has revolted against King David. If you hand over this one man to me, I will leave the town in peace." "All right," the woman replied, "we will throw his head over the wall to you." Then the woman went to all the people with her wise advice, and they cut off Sheba's head and threw it out to Joab. So he blew the ram's horn and called back his troops from the attack. They all returned to their homes, and Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem. Now Joab was the commander of the army of Israel. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was captain of the king's bodyguard. Adoniram was in charge of forced labor. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was the royal historian. Sheva was the court secretary. Zadok and Abiathar were the priests, and Ira, a descendant of Jair, was David's personal priest.
Okay, so Mark?
Yep. We're going to jump forward here to Mark chapter 14.
26 to 50, right?
Verse 26 to 50.
Okay. Then they sang a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus predicts Peter's denial. On the way, Jesus told them, "All of you will desert me, for the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there." Peter said to him, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I never will." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny three times that you even know me." "No," Peter declared emphatically, "even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all the others vowed the same. Jesus prays in Gethsemane. They went to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and Jesus said, "Sit here while I go and pray." He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he became deeply troubled and distressed. He told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little further and fell to the ground. He prayed that, if it were possible, the awful hour awaiting him might pass him by. "Abba, Father," he cried out, "everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." Then he returned and found the disciples asleep. He said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them again and prayed the same prayer as before. When he returned to them again, he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open, and they didn't know what to say. When he returned to them the third time, he said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But no, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here."
Jesus is betrayed and arrested. And immediately, even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders. The traitor Judas had given them a prearranged signal. "You'll know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss. Then you can take him away under guard." As soon as they arrived, Judas walked up to Jesus. "Rabbi," he exclaimed, and gave him the kiss. The others grabbed Jesus and arrested him, but one of the men with Jesus pulled out a sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. Jesus asked them, "Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there among you teaching every day. But these things are happening to fulfill what the scriptures say about me." Then all his disciples deserted him and ran away. And that is our
reading.
And that is our reading.
And that is our reading today.
Okay. And that is our reading today.
Today.
Okay. Hannah?
Mm-hmm.
We read that with two questions in mind. Really, three questions in mind. The first of the questions was, is Hannah going to do the thing where she doesn't say, and that is our reading today, at the same time as me?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. The answer was yes.
Yeah, we're just not in sync.
We've already answered one question.
It's crazy.
Now we only have two left. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more?
Mm-hmm.
So, Hannah, how does this help you love...
I'll take others more.
Others more.
Ooh, I don't know.
Are you saying that because you want to say one for both?
Well, no.
Okay.
No.
I couldn't read your face.
Yeah. I can't read my own mind.
I can't read the Bible, apparently. Do you hear me?
You need readers. You're of the age.
Wow.
You're getting there. Okay. How does this help me love others more? I just appreciated that Joab called David on his crap.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, I get it. Like, that's still awful, regardless of him being an enemy or Absalom being his enemy. It's devastating that his son had to die. So I get it. But at the same time, like, you know, he had his time. And then Joab comes in and is just like, look, dude, like, get over it. And it was out of love. And I think that that's a great thing for us to know. Like, when we have trusted people in our circle, like, we should be accountability partners with each mm-hmm. other and be able to receive that kind of critique as well as give it. You know, people are so quick to misquote the Bible and say, well, you can't judge me because it says not to judge. Mm-hmm. But in reality, it quite says the opposite in Romans, where it says that within the church, like, you are supposed to judge one another and hold each other accountable. So anyway, that's my short little spiel about how
I can
love others more by being held accountable and allowing people to hold you accountable as well as holding other people accountable.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know, you know, if Joab is the most loving guy.
Yeah.
But you know who he does love in that story? The other soldiers that David is really, like, putting out, you know, like, he says it's obvious that if Absalom had lived and we had died, you'd be happy.
Right.
You know, and so, like, I think there is something about that too. Yeah, for sure.
And
most,
like,
definitely.
Even in Mark, Jesus called the disciples and he was just like, you can't stay awake for like an hour?
Yeah.
You know, so anyway.
I relate to the disciples in this.
Mm-hmm. Could you imagine being out of that hour and, like, being told, like, don't sleep?
Yeah.
And
close your eyes.
Keep your eyes. Right, exactly. Like,
it's like a game that my parents used to play in the car with me and my sister when we would go on long trips. They would say, let's see who can close their eyes the longest without falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
I never won.
Remember that time we had to pick something to fast from, and I decided to fast from napping?
What a crazy thing to nap from. You were better off fasting from food.
I know. Yeah. And so every time, but, like, the point is, like, when you are missing that thing, you're supposed to pray.
Yeah.
It was the most convoluted attempt ever. It was a good try.
It was a good try. Okay, so how does this help me love God more? I think at any point, Jesus could have stopped this.
Yeah.
He could be like, that's enough. But he loves the Father enough to be obedient in all of this, in this terrible cup of suffering, you know, to use the Bible's words. Like, at any point, he could have been like, okay, Judas is here. Oh, cool. Solid betrayal. Or, okay, the disciples are asleep. They're leaving me. Okay, great. He gets arrested. Okay, all my friends left. You know, they all abandoned him. Okay. It's, you know, he could just be like, it's done. It's over. I'm not dealing with this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And now, of course, he couldn't actually, because it's not within his character to do that. But that's what makes me love him, is that it's not within his character to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that his character is such that it doesn't matter what the cost is, he's just going to keep going until he completes this incredible rescue mission that he's on, and it costs him a lot, and he doesn't care. He goes for it, you know? He just keeps carrying through. So that really helps me love and appreciate him more, this whole piece here. So, yeah.
Cool.
Look at that.
Is that fast enough for our little guy sitting at home?
Little guy.
Is that what you mean, your little guy?
All right, little guy. No, he's going to be mad because it's going to be about 20 minutes. What else do we want to talk about, Hannah?
Ooh. I don't know. How it's not raining?
Yeah. Hannah loves the rain and it's not raining.
It never rains here.
Well, the rain falls on both the righteous and the wicked, Hannah.
Which apparently is north and south of us.
We're pretty neutral right here. Yeah, we're pretty neutral right about here. But the righteous people and the wicked people do live all around us.
Apparently. Yeah, they must.
Yeah, Hannah and I both love rain, and it just appears to never rain here anymore.
Yep.
Yeah.
It skips it. It'll go completely around. It's insane.
I'm sure that there
are plenty of people who do. And I get that's the history, but it seems to be worse this year.
I get that that's the history, but change it.
Yeah. That's all. I guess that's all I have to say. How about you?
Yeah, I don't have anything.
Wow.
I talk every day. They have to hear me.
That's
but it's
true.
A pleasure. People are always like, I love listening to Hannah read.
That's very sweet.
Which is why I had you read that whole big section, because I read forever in there.
That was a long
time. Oh, yet another head being carried around. I was going to point that out. We're just out carrying around heads.
Yeah.
Welcome to Israel. Grab a head. It's got a little basket at the sign.
Oh.
You're like, oh, I like this guy's head.
It's like the little take a penny, leave a penny.
Yeah.
Grab a head, leave a head.
Yeah. Except it's just take a head.
Well,
yeah. Leave a rest of the body.
Well, if people are just carrying around heads, like pennies, that's the point. Like,
yeah, but
take a head, leave a head.
Like the lady in the story.
Yeah, I know.
There's still a body.
Somewhere, but not with them. Not
no,
with
they
Israelite.
Left it.
Right.
They took a head and they left a body.
But they brought the head to Israel.
So but they left a body. They took a head and they left a body.
I get it. All right. I don't think you're getting what I'm saying.
I am.
Ooh, you're just being difficult?
No.
Thank you.